Hey guys, welcome back to Off the Field Cricket Podcast. The IPL is back in the UAE and we're all very excited. And we just saw a great week of closely contested matches with a couple of one-siders at the end. We're starting a new series in which we're going to be talking about the major events that take place over the week in the IPL. So today we're talking about week one of the IPL, in which we saw a few very entertaining matches which got rid of our boredom in this treacherous lockdown that we've had.
To start off the week, not a bad innings there by Mayank Agarwal, an absolute blinder of an innings to start off the IPL in the very second game. A nearly match-winning one, 89 of 50-odd balls. And to be honest, what impressed me most about that innings was simply his composure throughout, as well as his ability to pick his moment. Because often what we've seen is, you know, batsmen struggle to pick their moment in the game and play fall shots at crunch in the crunch situations. And what impressed me most about Mayank's innings was his composure and his ability to pick the moment, pick the bowler, and execute a shot. Got a brilliant innings there, and especially against a formidable DC lineup. They've got the likes of Anish Nokia, Pegiso Rabada, and the spinners are great too. So, not a bad one to start off with. He took the DC bowlers to the cleaners, quite literally. So, the second biggest buzzing event of this week has been RCB's miraculous win over the Sunrisers Hyderabad, and it's come against the odds, really, because RCB, they don't have the best history of starting well in a tournament. You don't have the best death bowling. You don't have the most confident batsman coming in. So, I mean, and you have the likes of Josh Philippi, who doesn't have any IPL experience. Aaron Finch doesn't have the best, hasn't had the best series back in Australia, back in England. So, with all that in consideration, a very good start for the RCB. They showed great fighting spirit, and you know, they had that never say die attitude. However, KL Rahul and his boys really cleared up that misconception for them, that their death over blues and all those problems had vanished. They hadn't really, because you clearly saw in the game against KXIP that all the nightmares and everything came back to haunt RCB clearly. And you know, Umesh Yadav, I don't know, after playing 120 games or after playing 1,000 games, he's going to get experience. What does RCB expect of him? But to be honest, man, RCB needs to show him the back door. And there needs to be fresh talent coming in after, you know, after 120 games. If you're not experienced enough to deliver it for your team consistently, then I don't know how many games you need. So,
yeah, I think the first game, I think it was a bit of a mirage for them. They thought they'd sorted their bowling this year. True. It was actually SRH's inexperienced middle order, which actually made RCB's bowling look very high profile and high class. But that, as you said, that misconception was cleared by KXIP. But they have to, I think RCB needs to ask themselves this question. Why do they have this one game where they're getting under 100 or losing by a very big margin?
Absolutely.
Which actually sets them up poorly for the tournament. They have a loss in net run rate. Their team squad mentality goes down. So I think they need to sit down on the drawing board and they need to address this question. Why do they keep losing?
Yes.
Yeah. So moving on to the third event, I think the RR versus CSK game. I think Sanju Samson, what a blitzkrieg. I think the small grounds in Sharjah. I think this is going to be a repetitive scene. I think the matches that are going to be played in Sharjah, the other two being quite big, Abu Dhabi and Dubai. I think the matches that are going to be played in Sharjah, we'll see a lot of 200 plus scores being made. And Sanju Samson, but I think Sanju Samson, the sixes, I think he would have easily cleared the Dubai and even the Abu Dhabi grounds, because he was striking it cleanly. I think he's one of the clear strikers that the game has seen. And to taunt Piyush Chawla and Ravindra Jadeja, who are two experienced Indian bowlers, to taunt them in that fashion was just superb. Yeah. But there was also a controversy in this match. I think a lot of fans and commentators as well gave Dhoni a lot of flack for not coming up order. And I don't know, what do you think about it? Because it's quite bizarre. MS Dhoni, the most experienced man in the team, I think he should have come up the order and at least tried to win CSK the game. But coming at the end and then just hitting those three sixes, I didn't think it made a lot of sense.
Look, it's a double-edged sword. There are always two sides to the coin. If you look at it in a way that Dhoni hasn't batted for the year, and he himself feels that he may cost the team, you know, by playing a few dot balls. You know, if you don't have the time to play yourself in, it is injustice to the team that you are coming in there trying to settle down to the environment of an IPL when your team is requiring to bat at 10 and over and you're trying to get settled. It's not fair to the team, and I think Dhoni is smart enough to have played 20 years of cricket and to understand the fact that where he needs to bat and in what situation he needs to come in. I think if he feels he's not confident enough, he's not going to waste balls there and mess it up for his team. So I think it must be the right call that he's made. KL. So what do I talk about the man? I mean, what a great innings there. 130 of 60 odd balls against the Royal Challengers. The highest individual score for an Indian batsman in the IPL. You know, all records are set to be broken. And simply the tempo of his innings, I think that's what impressed me. I talked about Mayank and his composure throughout. Similarly, I think there are a lot of parallels that can be drawn between the two KXIV batsmen. I think the tempo at which KL played was close to perfection. I mean, hitting the odd boundary in the middle overs, really anchoring the innings, taking his time early on and cutting loose at the back end of the innings. And really, literally tearing apart the fragile RCB death bowling that has been a concern for quite a few years now. And as you said, the mirage was pretty much cleared up by KL and his boys, and showing RCB their true belonging and their true standing on the league table. You know, and quite remarkable, KL. I think his ability to take on the bowling. I think he's one of those rare players that has, he's like a Rohit Sharma. You know, he has the ability to block, you know, play time, and at the same time he can hit the long ball. You know, he can absolutely cut loose and tear upon any bowling man.
Yeah, I think even for India, he had been their top run scorer in the last 18 months before the lockdown. And I personally love KL Rahul. He's my favorite Indian T20 player.
Yeah.
That's why I hope that he gets to open the innings for India. I think, as you said, he has this great ability to switch between the gears. He has the drives that Virat Kohli has, and he also has that power game which Rohit has.
Yeah.
I think he's very easy on the eye as well. And I think that added responsibility of captaincy, he stood up to it in the first two games of what we've seen at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I think KL Rahul, I think one of my favorite batsmen, and hopefully he gets KXIP to a successful season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moving on, I think Pat Cummins, the hottest topic of the IPL auction, 15.5 crores, the most expensive pace bowler, and I think he was also the most expensive KKR bowler last with an economy of, I think he gave 49 runs in 3 overs, 15, 15 and then 19. He was just torn apart. I don't think he got used to the conditions. Obviously, it's just been one game, so we can't say much.
Yeah, we can't judge. Yeah.
This is what we were afraid of when we did analyze the KKR team, that he's not a perfect T20 bowler. And I think he was consistently hitting that Aussie length, which Rohit Sharma was just picking up. Like, it was bread and butter. He picked up 4 or 5 short balls from Cummins, and Cummins was not learning. He did not try to bowl a good Yorker or a change-up or a slower ball. I don't know if he doesn't have that in his armory or he didn't try it, but he consistently kept bowling that Aussie length, and he should have woken up that is not Australia, it is the UAE. You have to have, and it is a T20 match, you have to have those variations other than that. And Karthik actually lost faith in him. He did not give him the last over. So I think Pat Cummins really needs to step up his game. You really do expect him to lead the bowling attack as Australia's lead bowler. So hopefully he comes good in the next game. But very disappointing performance from him.
Cricket is a funny game, isn't it? A man, Shivam Mambi, with a price tag of 20 lakh odd compared to Pat Cummins, has gone 15 odd crores. Just look at the difference. I mean, it's a funny game, as we say. It's a cricketing cliche that on a given day, anyone can outdo another. So, I mean, it's quite surprising. At the same time, it's quite striking to the eye that Cummins has gone for so many runs after all that hype that was created, and Shivam Mavi, in fact, bowled better than him on the day. Was way more economical, and it's bright signs for Indian cricket after all, because he is one of the future stars of the game. The world has taken shots at Anushka Sharma for the role that she's potentially played in Virat's performances, or what people think she plays in Virat's performances. And it was quite surprising for me, to be honest, to see Sunil Gavaskar's comment on that he passed on Anushka Sharma and Virat, and the fact that she played a role in Virat's failure. Not, he didn't say this directly verbatim, but what he implied was that Virat Kohli has been facing Anushka Sharma during the lockdown, and he's used to facing her rather than top quality international bowlers. So in a way, he took an indirect dig at her, and I think Anushka wasn't quite pleased by that, and she took to social media to to portray her displeasure at Sunil Gavaskar's comment. So I mean, I was quite surprised to see it from Sunil Gavaskar in the first place, because he's quite a timid man. He's not that outright with his thoughts. Obviously, he is in terms of cricketing topics and all that goes around relating to our game. But to take direct shots at someone like that, it wasn't fair from my side. At least I don't feel it was the right thing to do, because obviously, Virat Kohli, the amount he's contributed to the game, to Indian cricket, is in the current day and age is only comparable to possibly an MS Dhoni. So, I mean, it was unfair, to be honest. It was unjust from my eye that Sunil Gavaskar, someone who's played for India, someone who knows that there are the ebbs and flows in our game and what a batsman can go through. So, the fact that it came from him was the most startling for me.
Yeah, I think he meant it as a joke, but to even say it as a joke, to involve some cricketers or some sportsman's family, because performance is really not right, because you can criticize the person, but then criticizing their family, I don't think it's right. I think you should stick to the game and stick to the basics for your analysis. And lastly, I think the major talking point in this week's IPL has been the nightmare for bowlers at the death. I think we saw Lungi Ngidi and Chris Jordan get hit for 30 for 30 runs each in the last over, and this is the record highest, which was only matched by Ashok Dhinda when Hardik Pandya hit the run a few years back in 2017. So this has actually been quite surprising, considering that there are such big grounds in the UAE. But I think the batsmen are now waiting till the last over to capitalize. This was more incentive to bowl even better at the death. So I think it's going to be a great contest between bat and ball, and death bowlers have faced a lot of hitting by the batsmen. They've been hit for 30 runs. And Pat Cummins, again, hitting Bumrah, which is quite surprising. Bumrah is really good at the death, but hitting him for 4 sixes was again very surprising. So I think death bowling needs to be improved by all teams. And we finally end this episode by talking about the lamentable event of the demise of Dean Jones, the great Australian cricketer. Obviously, personally, we have not seen him bat, but the way we've seen other people talk so highly about him, we really respect him. And in the dugout, in the commentary box, the way he's been such a great entertainer for the game, such an icon for the game. I think a lot of people say how he's revolutionized the game with his swagger and his running, fast running between the wickets. I think a lot of people have looked up to him. He was a great icon of the game, and in the commentary box, he'll never be the same again without Dean Jones. He was a great entertainer, and it was very sad news to you. I think he was not that old. He was just 59, and suddenly just have a cardiac arrest. It was quite sad to hear that day. So that is it for today, guys. We hope you enjoyed the video. If you did, please do share it with your friends, and also give it a big thumbs up if you liked it. Do comment on which part you liked and what do you think we can improve on. Please also subscribe and also follow to our Instagram page. It's called Off the Field Podcast. So we post 15 second reels there. Please do check that out as well. And this is going to be a weekly series, so please do stay tuned. It's going to be coming in out each week, and we hope you enjoyed this video. Bye bye.